We're not defeated. Amen. Amen. We are not defeated. Thank you, Lord. What do you have that's working? Do you have pictures or do you have... Okay. Okay. All right. Maybe we can show that at the end or something. I'm so glad y'all are here today. God is so good. I hate the devil. He tries to interfere with so many things. But how about if we just keep going? How's that? That was exciting, Sister Lydia. Thank you. God is with his people, and he will take care of the others if they're serving him, and thank you, and following after the Lord, that he's going to take care of those folks. So anyway, all right, Brother Gary, Wednesday night was so awesome. Thank you for that word, Wednesday night. You hit a home run. How's that? You hit it out of the park with the word. So, all right, let's just get right into it. I'm glad y'all are here today. We had some pictures, and hopefully before, maybe at the end or something, we can show them. Brother Steve Howell and his wife Susan from Texas House of Prayer made it back from Uganda and sent us some pictures, and I was going to show it to you. But they had a wonderful trip. But we'll talk about that later. How's that? All right, you got them? All right, there we go. You got sound on that one? They're singing about Jesus. I know that much. Some of the leaders that came from all over, and they're having an outside session. There he's meeting with some of them in a smaller group. And then they had a whole bunch of gifts for the kids and given them out. They were at an orphanage there, and so... Is that it? Okay. All right. And we were a part of that. How's that? Amen. We planted some financial seed into that, so they were able to bless a lot of folks and do that. So I had mentioned the other Wednesday night how they were excited about the offering that they received, Steve and Susan. They got 2 chickens and 2 rabbits and 2 fish and a stick of sugar cane and some corn and some bananas. So they were excited about that offering. Of course, they had to leave it. They left it all with the pastor. How's that? But anyway, it's a wonderful work. And the little local pastor there is over a bunch of churches. And Brother Steve has taken him under his wings and is teaching him online, and just blessing them. And so it's a wonderful work. It's a wonderful work. So I'm glad that they can go. This is their second trip. So I'm glad that they're able to go and that we can be a part of it. I'm not saying that I would I don't see myself ever going over there, but at least we can be there in spirit. How's that? All right, let's get right into the word here. Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse 11. This has been on my heart for a couple of weeks now, and I noticed different ones have preached on the subject as I would watch and look, and so I knew I needed to come back, and it doesn't hurt to hear it again. So this is Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse 11. Did we have that? Okay, good. "And thus shall ye eat, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." I want to talk to you for just a little while this morning on the subject of the effectual wonder-working power of the blood. You know, as Christians and as believers who have made Jesus Christ our Lord and our Savior, everything that we believe and teach and hope for is tied to the power of the blood of the Lamb, that being Jesus Christ. It has been said that there is no controversy carried down through the history of man greater than that over the blood of Christ. You know, it seems the blood has always offended those with sins to hide, but few dreamed it would become a point of offense among so many in the churches of today and in America and over in Europe. The problem is this: it not only saves the repentant, but it offends and it convicts the disobedient. It has not, up to this point, and probably will continue never to be popular with the lovers of religion. If we look at history, we find even back in the late 1800s that many churches decided the blood was out and a more palatable social gospel was in. The message of the blood simply offended too many civilized congregations. And so the accepted solution was to exchange this uncouth message of the blood and focus more on the rather positive aspects of Jesus' teaching. Positive thinking. And so the cross as a symbol of good was acceptable. To be displayed on church signs, that was okay. And even in the sanctuaries, that was okay. As long as no one brought up the bloody details of the Lord's passion at Calvary. And I believe you would agree with me that the worry ought not to be whether the message of the blood is too gory, but the concern really should be about a church without a cross, or a church without the blood, or even the church, yes, without Christ Himself. Because you see, that would be then the perfect church for Satan. But it would certainly do nothing for those of us that descended from Adam and born into sin. Listen, if it is ever considered politically correct or socially unacceptable, there must be the shedding of blood on an altar of sacrifice if we truly desire salvation and power. Most of us do not want to die, but death is required for us, for those who want to live. The shed blood of the Lamb left no room for debate or self-justification. Listen to the words of Jesus from Matthew's account of the gospel over in Matthew chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. Here's what he wrote. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. There is no way to get around the blood. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The offense of the blood can be traced really all the way back to after the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, when God himself shed the first blood to cover Adam and Eve, to cover up their sin. He killed an innocent animal to provide a covering or an atonement for Adam and Eve. The blood of the innocent for the guilty was now required. And from that day to this, listen, man has a built-in theology that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God revealed a new and unspeakable secret then about the blood when he engineered the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt and from that bondage. He disclosed a new property of the blood of the innocent in the last plague that he used to break the will of Pharaoh and punish Egypt for her mistreatment of Joseph's family. This secret is the basis then of the Jewish observance of Passover that is celebrated every year all over the world. And this secret then is the basis for the foundation of our salvation in Christ. You see, after Joseph had died, a new Pharaoh came into power who had not known Joseph. And he became worried because the children of Israel that dwelt there had now multiplied in number. And so fearful that they would overtake his kingdom, he put them into bondage, making them his slaves. And so for over 400 years of bondage, then the Lord finally raised up a deliverer by the name of Moses, who then came before this Pharaoh, and he urged him to let his people go. And so most of us know the story. God sent one plague after another to get Pharaoh to change his mind. Yet it was to no avail. The plagues then that rocked Egypt had so far failed to shake Pharaoh's stubborn determination to hold the Hebrews in bondage. That brought Egypt then to the final and worst plague of all. The time for the divine exodus was near. The Lord spoke to Moses and commanded then every Israelite household there in Goshen to slay a lamb without blemish. Goshen, by the way, was a territory that was inhabited by the Israelite shepherds. But it was despised by the Egyptians. They wouldn't go in there. After the lamb was slain, they were to apply its blood with hyssop branches to the doorpost and the top lintels of their homes. Their orders were simply this: stay in the house and stay under the blood. Then God explained that on that very night, the death angel would pass throughout the land of Egypt to strike the firstborn of every household. And the only thing then that would save them from certain death was the power of the blood of the Lamb. And we read in our text over here in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13, where God then spoke these words: when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And this then is the origin of the term Passover. Every house that was not covered by the blood suffered the death of the firstborn. It is interesting to note that the death angel was an angel of God, but even he could not cross the bloodline. So if the angel of God could not cross it, think with me this morning, how much more will it be an impossible barrier to an agent of hell? I want you to get this. There really is power in the blood. So there are three specific benefits provided by the shed blood of those lambs in Exodus chapter 12. Number one, the blood protected them. Number two, the blood delivered them out. And then number three, the blood also purged them from their past Egyptian history. The death angel passed over the Israelites' homes because of the blood applied to their doorpost and the lintels over the door. Nothing moved Pharaoh to submit his will to God until blood was shed. The blood then set at liberty the captives in one night. God's instructions included the command that the Israelites eat their fill of that sacrificial lamb and unleavened bread in preparation for the Exodus. You see, there was no yeast in the unleavened bread because they didn't have time to stay there and watch it rise. So they did. It was called unleavened bread. That means the Israelites marched out of Egypt then by the blood. By the blood and through the water of the Red Sea and under the cloud of God's guiding presence and full of the lamb that had been slain. And now the message of Exodus chapter 12 is as relevant to us today as it was to the children of Israel way back then. Listen, if we are to be delivered out of any bondage of sin, we will get out only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Through the water of baptism and under the cloud of the glory of God and full of the Lamb whose body was broken for us. That's the effectual wonder-working power in the blood. The sacrificial Lamb even provided supernatural healing and health for the Israelites. Scripture tells us that there was not a sick among them, among 3.5 million that Moses led out of Egypt. Can you imagine with me not one single person having back problems or headaches or arthritis or cancer or any kind of disability? Let me ask us this morning, do we really believe this book called the Holy Bible? I do. Here's what's recorded then for us over in Psalms 105, verse 37. It says, He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. When the time for the Exodus came, every descendant of Abraham walked out from under Egypt's shadow of bondage by the wonder-working power of the blood of the Lamb. And they walked out healed, and they walked out delivered because they walked out through the door of the blood. What do you think happened to those who had suffered with twisted limbs all of their lives? Listen, when the word came to go, suddenly their bodies received strength and they were healed, and through the blood they went. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I just don't think they all walked out of Egypt that day. I believe there were some grandpas and some meemaws that were dancing and some leaping their way out because of those blood-stained doorposts to freedom. Listen, understand with me that centuries of spiritual and physical and mental poverty ended that very night. In a matter of hours, prison doors were opened and generations born in bondage were set free. And life as they had known it would never be the same. And we find then that God used a unique word to describe the importance of the blood of those lambs in Egypt on that first Passover. We read it over in verse 13 of our text, where he said, "The blood shall be a token for you," meaning it would be a sign. A token is a small part or a symbol of something greater. I hope you get this down in your spirit this morning. So if just the merest token of the blood of the Lamb accomplished what it did in Israel that night, way before the birth and the sacrificial death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then what must the real thing be able to accomplish after Calvary? Can I say to you this morning, God wants us to find out. Can you just look at somebody and say, God wants us to find out? Are we then possibly living beneath our privilege? Do we really understand how much the enemy fears the blood of Jesus? How often then do we find ourselves at the enemy's mercy because we don't activate the power of the blood and use it by faith? How much do we suffer needlessly because we don't believe in it enough or we don't think about it to exercise our faith in its power? There really is power in the blood if you will perceive it and then apply it to our lives. The blood of Jesus is vital to the very life and health of the church. For sure, now is not the time to be squeamish or civilized when it comes to the blood. Here's what the writer of Hebrews asked this question in chapter 9 of Hebrews and verse 14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience," cleanse your conscience, "from dead works to serve the living God?" So we find then only the blood of Jesus can purge us from dead works of the flesh. Well, Pastor, what are the dead works that we're talking about here? Well, it's when as Christians, you and I succumb to a sense of dullness in our relationship to the Lord and a dullness in our service to Him. And now we find ourselves like a zombie going through the motions, but not really alive. More excited about and thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch after church on Sunday than desiring more from God. And eventually not giving God any time of our day and really not giving Him any part of us. How sad is that? But isn't it something then how we certainly want Him to do for us in our time of need? And yes, believe me, God sees all of it. How many know He already knows our heart? We can't hide anything from God. So, Pastor, how do we change things? Thank you for asking. Here's the answer. We come alive to Him when we allow the blood of Christ to cut away the old deadness and the dullness in our lives. Well, you may be asking, how can I do such a thing? How can I do that? How can I get freshness? How can I get newness flowing again in my life? Well, it's when you get alone somewhere all by yourself. Whether it's in your easy chair or in the closet or in your car or sitting alone in the backyard or on a stump somewhere in the backwoods. And you make the posture as an old-fashioned altar of prayer. And you call out to the Lord to renew your experience with Him, to renew your relationship with Him and to identify yourself once again with the Lamb of God. Lord, I want you. Lord, I need to renew my heart. I want you to renew my heart. Show me what I need to do better. Show me what's going on. Everything seems to be falling apart. Show me how I need to fix it. Show me what I can do on my part. Prayers are answered through the blood. It still has the power to destroy plagues. But Pastor, what plagues are there in our lives today? How about plagues of oppression and depression and fear and doubt and worry? How about plagues of murmuring and complaining? Don't raise your hand now.
Okay.
Just look straight ahead. But have you complained about anything since you got up this morning? Some folks are putting their head down. They don't want to say. Oh, my. How about plagues of lethargy and passivity? Or just plain giving up on life itself? A lot of people do. Listen, all of these can take hold of us like a plague. Did you know that?
Yes.
I know what it's like to have depression attach itself. But let me remind you, there is power in the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that. Not only can blood then still destroy plagues, but it can stop a demon in its tracks. And it can mark that divine dividing line in the sand between what is holy in our lives and what is profane, between the repentant and the proud. And I would say then it's time to be baptized afresh in the cleansing blood of Jesus and the water of the Holy Spirit at an old-fashioned altar of prayer. Again, you may not be able to get on your knees somewhere, but I'm telling you, you can take that posture right there in the easy chair. Here's what Hebrews chapter 10, the writer wrote about in verse 19 through 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness, into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Listen, the path of the cross is not a dead way. The true church is not one of drudgery or tradition. The Lamb was slain, the blood was shed, and the veil was rent. And we are told that when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was rent or torn to let everyone in to the Holy of Holies. Because of the sacrifice at Calvary, because of the shed blood of Christ, we have a blood right to walk, if you please, into the very throne room of God, meaning into the very heart of God. Listen, it doesn't matter what our Heavenly Father is doing. He could be out ruling the universe, hanging out stars, or painting galaxies. But when one of His blood-washed children opens the door to the throne room to talk to Abba Father, to talk to the Daddy, the angels, if you please, have to step aside. God recognizes us as His children. And because of the blood, we now have a right to walk directly into the throne room of Almighty God. Meaning into the very heart of God, into His presence, any time and any day. When we begin to just praise Him, just thanking Him, sitting in your easy chair, with some praise music on. I'm telling you, he won't wait for you to get there. The Bible says he comes down and he envelops the praises of his people. What greater source of power could we ask for this morning? There is power in the blood of the Lamb, but that power is useless if we neglect to use it. Our concept then of the blood cannot be strictly a theological position. Listen, Satan, the devil, is not afraid of theology. Did you know that? And he's even less afraid of theologians, unless they are washed in the blood and know how to use the blood of Christ as a weapon. Remember with me that life is in the blood. It's not enough for us to say we believe in the actual shedding of the blood of Jesus. All we have done is taken a position that is firmly based on Scripture. That's good in itself, and it is necessary. But let me say, it's simply not enough. We must know the truth, and we must experience the truth in today's world, in today's culture. The truth has to become something that affects every part of our lives. The blood of Jesus is more than a vital part of our salvation. It is a weapon meant to be used both defensive and on the offense. So we need to learn how to activate and to move and to flow in the very power of the blood in our daily lives. Here's what Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 says. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. Notice with me in that verse that in this passage it does not say remission of sin. Sin is definitely included here, but the power of the blood does not end when it takes care of sin. It purges and it purifies, the scripture says, almost everything by or with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Priests over in the Old Testament sprinkled almost everything with blood. And what wasn't sprinkled with blood, it was dabbed with an anointing oil. They had complete confidence in the power of the blood then to cleanse and to deliver and to protect. It was the key to remission and pardon and liberty. Luke often used the word remission in his written account of the gospel. And according to his record, Jesus himself implied that it was to be a part of what we call the apostles' doctrine when he said repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. Understand that Luke was a physician, and the medical concepts of remission meant then what it means now. If someone with a malignancy or a disease in their body experiences a significant improvement in their condition, they are said to be in remission. It means the disease process has been arrested or is now in retreat. The blood of the Lamb attacks sin and chases it away. So sin, including disease, including sickness of every kind, has to retreat in the very presence of the washing of the blood of Jesus. It has to go. Would you look at somebody and just tell them it has to go? There then is good reason for the enemy to fear the blood. Let me ask you, would you allow the blood of Jesus to begin to work anew in your life today? I want to. I want to make that decision. Remember, the demons of hell quake and they tremble at the mention of the blood of the Lamb. And we find over in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, the Lord said this to the Israelites, For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. The word atonement here actually means covering. The blood of the Lamb does more than simply deliver us from sin. Watch this. It is the power to cover us and also to protect us. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 23. When God told Moses about the dividing line or division that he would put around the Israelites in Egypt, he used a very specific word that is important to our understanding of the power of the blood. According to the King James, he said, "I will put a division between my people and thy people," talking about the Egyptians. The New King James says, "I will make a difference." The Hebrew meaning of that passage reads this way: "I will put redemption between my people and thy people." Here goes. Listen, the power of the blood preempts the plan of the enemy and protects us from the plans of the devil. If you have been around Pentecost circles very long, I was raised up in Pentecost. You will remember or have heard of the old timers from the early days, how they would say, "I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus." Let me say, we need to restore that powerful phrase to our vocabulary and not be ashamed or scared of that phrase. The blood of Jesus covers us and protects us. The blood purges and delivers us. And the blood, if we will apply it, will be victorious in our lives. The events in the first Passover prove to us that even death, the death angel, hear me now, even the death angel had to back up when he sees the power of the blood of the Lamb. It is not enough for us to simply say the words, "I plead the blood." That can just become routine and just not meaning anything. But it is in truly believing that something happens when we say it. Watch this. When the enemy extends his hand toward any area of your life, and he is ready then to close his grip around you, whether it's on your family or your finances or your health or your home or your automobile. Listen, as you speak those words, the enemy is also hearing a voice coming from the blood of the Lamb that is saying, "Get your hands off. This is my child, and he has to let go immediately." All the enemy then can do is howl and froth and then try to frighten you. But he cannot lay a hand upon you, because as a child of God, you're under the blood, and the devil cannot go there any time. Will he try? Oh yeah, he'll come a knocking. But guess what? We can't open the door. Don't you open the door to unbelief. Don't you open the door to doubt and worry and fret. All that does is give him a foothold to come in. Aha. I'm in now. Can't do a thing about it. Let me say again, as a child of God, you're under the blood, and the devil cannot go there anytime. As we bring this message then to a close this morning, for 15 centuries, Israel had a sanctuary concerning a special area called the Holy of Holies. It would mean death to anyone who entered the place except the priest. It had one message, and it was a simple one at that. Man cannot dwell in the presence of Almighty God. But God himself changed all of that when he allowed an old rugged cross to be set down in the bedrock and anchoring on a hill called Golgotha, meaning the place of the skull. Jesus hung on that tree with one bloody arm extended out to a thief who accepted his invitation to forgiveness and eternal life. And without favoritism, the other bloody arm also extended to one that he knew was going to reject his offer. It did not matter, though, to the Redeemer, because you see, Jesus shed his blood for all of mankind. He reaches both categories of people, the acceptors and the rejectors, with his scarred and loving arms. Let me ask us this morning, will you be an acceptor or a rejecter? He made a new and living way for us where there was no way. Let me encourage all of us today to take the limits off of the atonement, off of his covering today, and embrace the power of the blood of Jesus wholeheartedly in our lives. Jesus spoke these words. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me." Remember, there is nothing that God cannot do through the power of the blood of his majesty. One of the last scriptures I want to read is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Listen to this. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Listen to verse 11. Here's what Paul writes. He's writing to the church. "And such were some of you." And such were some of you. "But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." When the Apostle Paul said, "Such were some of you," his message was very simple. You were those things, but you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You've been set apart. You've been reserved. And you've been made right in the name of Jesus by His Spirit. And so I believe this morning we could all say, "Thank you, Lord, for the blood." Thank God for the blood, because it does protect and it does deliver. And if you're fighting depression today, plead the blood of Jesus over your mind. If you're fearful and you've been worried, stop and just plead the blood over your emotions. "Lord, help me. I plead your blood over my mind today. I'm not going there. I'm not going to stay in that. Satan, you can't come near me in Jesus' name." Be loose then from the grip of sickness and disease today. And in the name of Jesus, be bound only to the liberating power of the blood of the Lamb. Now, one last thing. Would you say this after me? "I declare with my mouth that because my life is covered in the blood of Jesus, I am a victor and not a victim. I am a winner and not a loser. And I am an overcomer. I am able to stay above my circumstances and not under them. And I am determined to see God's plans and purposes fulfilled for my life. In Jesus' name, amen." Can you worship the Lord with a hand clap right now? Thank you, mighty God. Do we have the clip? All right, very good. We're going to end with this 4-minute clip of a particular service. You're going to be blessed. We know Sister Linda likes to play the tambourine. I want you to see in this video if you can spot Sister Linda playing her tambourine, okay? You're going to be blessed by it. Brother Patterson was preaching on the same thing, the blood of Jesus.